Hi, Cardinal fans. I'm Ozzie Smith.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go.
And you're listening to the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hello, welcome to Season 2, Episode 25 of the Cardinals Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Brett McMillan. Getting down to the nitty-gritty here in 2018. Stretch run, hopefully toward the playoffs. Just not a whole lot more chances to see the Cardinals play here in the regular season. There is one, though. Cardinals and Dodgers coming up at Busch Stadium. That's the weekend of September 14th through the 16th. Boy, could that be a pivotal series in the National League playoff picture. And there are some great giveaways all series long. 1928 jersey, the 2013 mystery ring for the National League champion Cardinals, and, of course, the Mark McGwire bobblehead on Sunday the 16th. Get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions. Glad that you are listening with us today. Even though we are in September, we're going to step back just a little bit from the current team. We'll be, I'm sure, in fact, I know for a fact, we'll be talking about some current team players and themes here in the coming weeks. But I wanted to focus on this date that the podcast releases, which, if you're listening, pardon me, on the release date, it is September the 11th. With that in mind, just wanted to take the chance to think about this infamous day in American history through maybe a little bit of a different lens than you would normally. No matter your background, profession, what have you, 9/11 shook each and every American on that day, September 11th, 2001. And that includes Major League Baseball. Games postponed, charters, and all air traffic across the country was grounded. And ballparks for days sat quietly as more profound matters took over the American consciousness. Brian Bartow is the director of communications for the St. Louis Cardinals. He lived that period in Cardinals and American history. He was on the road with the club that day in Milwaukee when he learned that two planes had hit the World Trade Center in New York. He and I talked about the circumstances of that day and the weeks that followed. A little bit of background and definitely some insight that you really wouldn't know unless you talked to someone who lived through that very, very unique set of days in baseball history. And as I said, I think it's a historical record of September 11th in a way that you probably have never heard it presented quite before. So here it is, Brian Bartow, Director of Communications for the St. Louis Cardinals, on the Cardinals Insider Podcast. Well, Brian, you've been with the club over 30 years. I imagine that you obviously haven't seen another day like that since, hadn't seen one before. It's a day that we all have a lot of memories from, no matter what walk of life someone might be in as they listen to this. But just to refresh everyone's memory, the 10th of September 2001, the Cardinals play in Milwaukee. Were you on the trip, I guess, is the first thing I should ask. And what do you remember about the next day, whether you were in Milwaukee or here in St. Louis?
Yeah, I was on the trip, Brett. And, you know, we were having a good season. Coming down the stretch, you know, you get in September and the pennant races are heating up. And, you know, we played the game on the evening of the 10th and had a win. You know, I looked back here, I didn't recall that, but Daryl Kyle actually pitched and got the win that night for us. And then you know, we go back to the hotel there in Milwaukee. We're staying at the Pfister downtown, where we, you know, team has traditionally stayed for years. And wake up the next morning, turn on the TV, and really almost at the time I flipped on the TV and just started, you know, putting on local news and, you know, started recognizing that something was going on with a plane hitting one of the World Trade Center towers. And my wife called and said, you know, had wondered if I'd woken up yet, you know, because, you know, after a night game, sometimes you don't wake up early. But, you know, said, if not, you might want to flip on the TV. And I did, and of course, and just, you know, sat there and at first, we didn't know it was a terror attack. At least I didn't, and I don't think most people did watch it. We thought it was just a horrific accident where a plane had hit the tower. And then as you're watching that, you see it unfold and recognize it. Now, this is tragic. This is not an accident. Two planes in that short period of time hitting the World Trade Center. So right away, you know, you start making calls. I'm trying to recall. I guess we had some form of cell phone back then, not to the iPhone or a smartphone degree that we do have now. But there was a communications ability beyond just, you know, the normal phones in the room, and starting checking with folks. We did have Walt Jacket, our general manager, on the trip at the time, and of course, manager Tony La Russa, and you know, just wondering, you know, what's going on here. We were to play that night in Milwaukee, and I guess it was probably, you know, late morning that, you know, word came down that there were to be no games played that night. They were going to be postponed. That word came from Major League Baseball. What we didn't know was, would we resume the series the next day, or was it just a one-night thing, or would there be a prolonged, you know, shutdown of play? But yeah, it was strange, and you know, being in Milwaukee, not one of the probably bigger cities that we go to, you know, with Major League travel, it was still weird when you would go outside and it was very eerily quiet outside, walking the streets or going around. Most people, I think, were inside, you know, nervous, scared, worrying, looking to the skies. I mean, Chicago was obviously a major municipality, you know, to the south. They're not too far from Milwaukee, an hour's drive or so. That's one thing I do recall is just how it was so eerily quiet outside, not much activity whatsoever.
Baseball is such a game of rhythm at the ballpark and away from it. I mean, 162 days, even on the road, guys have times they want to go certain places, things that they want to do in preparation for the game. What was that like, just the rhythm of the day? Because across the nation, everyone, like you said, is glued to the TV. Do you recall guys kind of mulling around the hotel when maybe they would have gone to the ballpark, or did you even ever get to the ballpark that day?
So, yeah, it, you're right. I mean, it is. I mean, it's such a day-to-day. You know, you have your routine, your rhythm of your day with the game and those in the game, the players, coaches, staff, everyone. We did get word once Major League Baseball had postponed that evening's game that we were going to meet as a team in one of the conference rooms there at the team hotel. And Walt Jacket, our GM, and La Russa informed us that, you know, what they knew at this point in time was, you know, tonight's game obviously is not going to be played. We don't know what the next couple of days look like. Prepare yourselves mentally that we will have a game tomorrow, meaning the 12th, but we just don't know, you know, to what extent this is going to be as far as, you know, when the league would resume play or if select teams would resume play. Travel was, you know, quickly people found out that, you know, as all planes were grounded and air traffic shut down, that, you know, we couldn't fly anywhere if we wanted to. So we had the meeting in the hotel, just told everybody, just, you know, stay close to your phone, you know, be in touch with each other. If you had any questions or concerns, obviously people were concerned about their families, rightly so, back at whatever homes they might be, whether it be in St. Louis or elsewhere, and being separated from your family at this time when there's a lot of, you know, unknown and concern. And, you know, we a lot of people, I think, huddled for the most part there at the team hotel, ate dinner. You know, we're glued to the TV down the lobby or in the room. And then the next morning, we did get word that, you know, there was going to be a prolonged stoppage of play. To what length, we weren't sure, but we knew we weren't going to resume play, you know, in the next day or two. And that teams were then starting to look for ways to get back to their home cities. Fortunately enough, being in Milwaukee, wasn't too hard for us to get a buses and drive back to St. Louis. Typically, we would fly to St. Louis. We don't do too many bus trips normally during team travel, but we were able to secure some buses. And after we had a workout, this would have been on the afternoon or midday of the 12th at Miller Park. We did go out to the ballpark and had a workout. And then we got on buses after the workout and drove back to St. Louis. We did stop off. It was an interesting, you know, sight to see as we're driving down this interstate and, you know, people are getting hungry. We did stop off. I don't recall exactly the town. I think it was Bloomington, Illinois. And LaRusso instructed everybody that he had basically 30 minutes to go grab whatever. It was a, you know, off the highway stop with number of fast food restaurants. And he had 30 minutes to, you know, go to whatever the, you know, 3, 4, 5 fast food restaurants were there along the exit and get something and bring it back to the bus. And we, you know, continue on home. So seeing, you know, the look on some of the faces of these, you know, people working in these fast food McDonald's, whatever, Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken, seeing the look in their faces when all of a sudden they look up and they're taking an order of a Mark McGuire was another thing I won't forget either. That was really interesting. Just the shock and surprise to see a busload of Major League people, and then they start recognize it. Wow, that's Sonny LaRusso, that's Mark McGuire, or, you know, things along that line. That was unique. Something I don't know I've ever seen. Even in spring training, we don't step off. They'll put the food on the bus when we drive during spring training if we have a long trip. But so then we got back to St. Louis that night, and then it was, you know, sort of a wait and see approach there too, as to, you know, what the next step would be.
What was just kind of the vibe with the guys? Because one of the things that amazes me about pro athletes is how locked in they can be and how focused they can remain. But I imagine it was hard for anyone to be focused on baseball in the day or so after. I mean, what was it just like as you guys were driving back to St. Louis, the thoughts that were kind of being kicked around?
Yeah, so again, this is really pre-smartphone, where, you know, there wasn't, you know, social media that exists today where you could get instant news at your fingertips. So we're on a bus and obviously pretty much, you know, closed off from any news during that bus ride. So it was quiet. It was a lot of just raw emotion, whether it be sadness, anger, anxiousness about, you know, what the future held, not only for baseball, but for our country. So, yeah, there was a lot of that, but it was a pretty quiet trip for the most part. There wasn't certainly a lot of, you know, fun being had. It was a somber trip for the most part.
For you, your job can be pretty all-consuming during the summer with everything that goes on with a major league team and helping, you know, manage that from a PR aspect. 6 days that there's no game. What was that like for you every day, kind of waking up in limbo and knowing I don't really know what today holds because I don't know if there's going to be baseball or not?
Right. So, you know, we get back home and, you know, your attention immediately focused to your immediate family and friends and your coworkers and everyone. We did have workouts here at Busch Stadium, old Busch Stadium at the time, you know, to keep the guys, you know, try to keep them, you know, sharp or focused as much as possible as for whenever the season would resume. You know, you hear a lot of different rumors that it's going to be a day or two, or it might be a week, it might be, you know, 10 days, you know, you just didn't know. But we did have workouts, and you had that time to, I think, bond with your band of brothers and your team and everyone, just to sort of, you know, share your feelings, your emotions, what you're going through. I mean, there's a lot of tears shed. It was emotional, period of time. I mean, I'd sit at home sometimes, and I'd have to turn the news off because it became overwhelming at times. And you know, I'm sort of an emotional type person to begin with, so it doesn't take much to get me going. But you know, I know personally a couple times I just couldn't keep watching the news. It was just too sad, you know, to see. And then you run the whole gamut of emotions from anger to fear to, you know, you name it. But having that chance to at least connect daily, you know, when we would have our various workouts here at the ballpark in preparation for whenever the season would resume, certainly was helpful to take your mind off what was going on.
I've only talked to Tony La Russa a couple of times. You know him very well from all your years working with him. But I can say just from the times I've interviewed him, he very much is about the score of the ball game. I mean, he's a competitive guy. What was your communication like with him throughout that week? As there were no games, and I'm sure he's trying to keep the team on the same page, but at the same time, it's kind of in limbo like we've talked about.
Yeah, and, you know, Tony had some experience to draw upon from something not to this degree of a terror, but certainly from, you know, a natural disaster or occurrence when the World Series was halted with the A's and Giants due to the earthquake in San Francisco, and they had the stoppage and they had to postpone or delay the World Series and trying to see his team and his players through that, knowing that they had concerns for their families and worries and all the things that come with everyday life, but yet still being, you know, thinking ahead, you know, trying to stay prepared for whenever play would resume. So I know Tony really probably drew from that experience to a large degree as to how to you know, get ourselves in position to be ready to hit the ground running when the season did start as well. So that was probably a benefit to us. That he had experienced that and sort of learned or maybe saw some things that he did like or would do over from the World Series, you know, delay that they had gone through and maybe incorporated a little bit into his help in preparing the team for our return to play after the 9/11 attacks.
What went through your mind when you finally find out, okay, September 17th is going to be the day we're going to play baseball at home in St. Louis? What was that feeling like, and how did you find out that you were going to play?
The league sent out, you know, a notice league-wide, you know, through the media and through the clubs that, you know, baseball would resume on this date. The first thing you think about is, okay, this could be – you don't know. You know, there was a lot of uncertainty out there about what was going on. You know, when would more such attacks possibly be happening? And we were poised to host a game here at Busch Stadium. I want to say our game was, I don't know if it was nationally televised. I'd have to look back. But, you know, 40-some thousand fans in the ballpark, certainly people wondered if ballparks would be targets for continued, you know, terror. And, you know, you had that uncertainty that we'd never faced before. You know, playing that game and then leading up to that, on the days we were having the workouts, I remember Jack Buck going around just sharing his words that he spoke, you know, before the game to the crowd. Very powerful, but sharing, you know, those words he'd penned on paper and with different people to just get their opinions, what they thought, you know, of what he had put together and was planning on reading to the crowd that night. And that was interesting to see, you know, a person of such strong character and a man so well revered. How his mind was working, you know, about how he was thinking through this and putting it on paper and then sharing it, you know, in his words he spoke that night before the game. So yeah, there was a lot of anxiety for sure going into the ball game, but there was a lot of pride too, because we had so many of our St. Louis area uniformed men and women, military, fire, police, first responders that were part of that that night pregame, including Jack's speech that he gave. In his words, he offered that we'll be a part of Cardinal history. Certainly, Jack's spoken words that night, not just Cardinal history, but I'm sure baseball will always look back. And you see it a lot of, you know, recollections of that when people look back at 9/11 and baseball's return to play, that Jack's speech oftentimes is incorporated into that.
Yeah, I think of the president at the time, George W. Bush, throwing one right down the pipe at Yankee Stadium. And then the second thing in my mind that sticks out about that day baseball-wise is that poem, like you mentioned, For America. Jack Buck, he delivers that pregame. What was the feeling like in the ballpark as that ceremony is going on and then he gets up to the mic? What jumps out at you that you remember about it?
It was probably my time here with the ball club. It was certainly the most patriotic feeling I've ever experienced at a baseball game. I mean, the number of American flags that are being waved and displayed and the chants of USA and we'll never forget, and you know, the admiration and certainly salute to our military and to our uniform and first responders. And I don't know that I've ever felt that kind of emotion in a ballpark, at least in a Cardinals game that I've been at, where we were all one. It wasn't, Cardinal fans, or I guess that night it was Brewers, is that right? We were playing the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
We were all one. We're all Americans, and I don't recall ever that kind of feeling in any of my years and games here as a member of the Cardinals. That was very unique.
I remember people talking about, and I think maybe even the commissioner said, it's important for baseball, a very American pastime institution, to be part of the healing and to come back and help us find normalcy again as a country. As somebody who was working in baseball at the time, did you feel that comfort as you were in the ballpark that in some small way being here is normal when nothing else feels normal?
Yeah, you did, and you hear players talk about a lot is that, especially if a player's going through some off-field struggles, that the one moment in their day that they can sort of compartmentalize their whatever they're going through is that 3 hours during a ball game when they're on the field and focused on playing a game. And it really did have that feeling that when we were having a game that, it was as back to normal as you could feel and be, day by day, I think, people grew more comfortable with getting back to the everyday lives and as they, learned more of what had happened and started the recovery process. But, for that, you're right, for that that couple 3 hours each day, it was a chance to get back to the things we enjoy and but certainly never to forget what had happened. From that standpoint, it was very much a part of the healing process, I think, for our country to have our professional sports. Of course, football was going on at the time too, and getting back to their regular, pastimes, so to speak.
What was the clubhouse like before and after that game on the 17th?
Very much like, I guess, probably all the 40-plus thousand fans coming in, a little bit of anxiousness about, could stadiums be targets for future terror activity? Obviously, important games too, because we were in a pennant race. So very business-like, very quiet. There wasn't probably as much celebration following wins as you normally would see. It was a more of a controlled, we got the win. All right, time for tomorrow. It wasn't a as big of a maybe celebration of a victory as you would see under normal circumstances. But and again, that too started to get more and more closer or back to normal as the days went by. But certainly that first night, it was not the whole experience you would normally see in normal circumstances.
What was the media coverage like? Was there more or less or different questions than normal?
The sports media coverage was similar in some ways, but also a lot of it, was more human interest, human nature, stories about, relating to people if they had someone who was impacted or lost that they knew in the terror attacks in New York or the other D.C. and Pennsylvania, or how others maybe have been impacted by, they were on a flight that was, set down somewhere when they started, bringing all flights down. And you did hear different stories about how people were this place or that place and how they had to get back. We obviously shared our story of our bus trip back, but there was others who, on other teams, who had much more challenging travel circumstances. So there was those kind of stories about that the media would want to, relate to the fans or to, the readers or listeners about not only people in everyday walk of life, are impacted by this, but so are these professional athletes. They have the same concerns and worries and feelings that everyone's going through.
The regular season went a little extra long that year because you went a little deeper into October, and I remember the World Series didn't end toward November, which isn't a regular thing like it is now to end in the first few days. Being in a pennant chase, eventually making the playoffs and facing the eventual world champion Diamondbacks in LDS, rather. Did that kind of take a toll? Was there energy because of what had happened in September and maybe that gave everyone a push, or do you remember it maybe fatiguing everyone a little more?
I don't recall being fatigued, other than maybe just the mental aspect. I mean, I guess really from a physical standpoint, it maybe gave teams and players a chance to sort of reset a little bit, because when you do get normally into September, you're starting to see the physical and mental fatigue set in. So no, I didn't notice too much with that aspect of it. And once we got into the postseason, it seemed like things were starting now to get some real the passion and the excitement level back, at least, on those game days and during that 3-hour window. And then you'd go, after the game was over, you'd go back, and I'm sure many people would turn on the news channel and see what the new findings or, whatever news or information was coming out each day. But by that time, after a month or so had gone by, we were starting to at least, I think, feel like, okay, it's okay to have fun at the ballpark again. It's okay to smile, because we don't want this to change us and change, our way of life. So by the time we got the postseason, it felt probably as close to normal as it could during such circumstances.
Is there one thing that you think about? I feel like everybody has memories from that month or so that stick in their mind, no matter what age they were, no matter what they were doing, where they were. For you, what's the memory or two that you remember and will always remember from that period in Cardinal history?
Certainly the Jack Buck poem and the crowd that night when we did resume play. And the eeriness on that day of just downtown Milwaukee. It really, really was a very eerie feeling how quiet it was, not that Milwaukee's a big metropolitan town, but still, it's a sizable city, and it was a weekday. I mean, it was business; it wasn't a weekend. Just those two things are probably the most vivid to me as far as the things that in my mind I can quickly remember and see from that period of time.
And then one final thing before we let you go. I know we talked about Jack earlier, and you mentioned that he came in and was bouncing the words of that famous poem off of people. Did you have a recollection the first time you read it to you that was going to be a touch point for history when he's saying those things and you're going, this is going to have an impact?
I don't know that we did. And I don't think Jack certainly did or would have thought it would have resonated to the extent that it did nationally and certainly throughout baseball. And now, historically, I think he was more doing it probably for his own self, letting his emotions out. I think he probably was, if anything, just trying to help direct his emotions in a positive way that would help us heal, help us grow, help us come together. He was very good at that, and throughout his days, not only as a broadcaster but just in his everyday life. And so to know that those words will, like you said, Brett, the image of President Bush throwing that strike in New York at Yankee Stadium, his speech and that moment with the president, certainly with the Mets and the dramatic win they had that day they came back to play and wearing the various caps of the New York Police and Fire Department. Those three things are probably be the most vivid and remembered occurrences of that period of time throughout the course of baseball history.
A unique time, hopefully one that we never see exactly like that again in baseball. But Brian, we appreciate your time recapping what it was like here in St. Louis that week of September 11th, 2001. Thank you.
Yeah, Brett.
Thanks to Brian for joining us. Thanks also to you listening. That was something that when I thought of it, and we actually recorded that quite some time ago because I wanted to have a good 30, 40 minutes to sit down with Brian and really dig into the day. And as you probably can imagine, in the midst of a baseball season, that is just not in the offing. So we did that, I think it was maybe last November, and I've been sitting on it ever since. And I don't want to use the word excited because it's such a serious topic, but I think I was so intrigued by getting to hear those stories from Brian, and it was definitely what I thought it would be. It was definitely worth the wait to air it and bring it to you, and I hope that you got some insight and thought about that day and maybe learned about that day in a way that you hadn't before, especially from this baseball angle. So again, thank you to Brian, and I hope that it's something, even though it's maybe a little more serious and grounded than we would normally do, I do hope that it's something that you enjoyed. If you haven't heard, we're available anywhere that you get podcasts now as we turn to something a little bit lighter. You just search Cardinals Insider. I mean, no matter where you are, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, anywhere. There are numerous more that I am missing. Just search Cardinals Insider. We are so grateful to have distribution that is now so wide across the podcast universe. And of course, you can always check us out, cardinals.com/podcast as well. Next week, you'll meet Ray Washburn. He's our guest. He authored a no-hitter for the 68 Cardinals. Funny fact about it, he threw one against the Giants in San Francisco one day after Gaylord Perry had thrown one against the Cardinals in San Francisco. It was the first time ever in Major League history that no-hitters were thrown on back-to-back days in the same ballpark. He will jump on the podcast and talk about that day, as well as the 68 Cardinals, 50 years removed from their National League championship. As always, get in touch, podcast with an S cardinals@cardinals.com is the email. We'd love to see you down here. 80s night coming up Friday, September 14th. 80s night at the ballpark with the purchase of a special team ticket. You're going to receive an exclusive 80s-themed Cardinals dugout jacket, just like the ones Whitey used to wear as he would be perched at that top step. Come early. It's a pregame concert by that 80s band on the Alltech Lansing stage. Tickets are available at cardinals.com/theme. The weather has started getting a little chillier here in St. Louis, at least as I sit here and speak now, so that jacket would probably be a nice accessory to have, especially if we are playing playoff baseball. I hope that we are. I hope that I talk to you next week when Ray Washburn jumps on with us. Until then, for Brian Bartow, I'm Brett McMillan. We'll catch you next time on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.